That's a little Shirley Ellis clap song. We're playing that today, not because it's a special anniversary, because my young producers, Mark Gunnery in particular, just discovered her. So we played her. So a little 1965 music for you all. Reminding you on the way to this conversation, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you, and money comes back in the end. More information at www.mecu.com. And we're about to have a conversation once again with Edward Wyckoff Williams, author, columnist, contributing editor to The Root, and political analyst for Al Jazeera and MSNBC. Edward, good to have you back with us, my friend.
Good to be with you, Mark.
And his latest work is Black Boys Are Not Safe on Our Streets. And he also just sent me an article that I read very quickly during the break from the Daily Mail about a young black man in New York that was arrested for buying a $300 belt, which we'll talk about as well. Edward, good to have you with us.
So, good to be with you.
So this is the piece you wrote was about the case of Leon Ford Jr., who and the case of Kendrick Johnson. We might add to that Jonathan Ferrell, and we might add to that a case that you may not know about in Baltimore that is recent of a young man named Tyrone West, who in
I was really glad that you sent me that information so I could Google it very quickly. But let's talk about that.
About Tyrone West?
Yes, because it seems like these situations are proliferating in a particular way, and I don't know what it is. You and I have talked about white redemption and my theory on that. But what happened particularly in Baltimore?
Well, with Tyrone West, we interviewed. What's fascinating to me is we're following this case very closely. This was over 3 months ago. It's been almost 98 days now, and the coroner has not come out with the autopsy report. There's no word from the police or the state's attorney's office. This is a young man who came home from prison, been free for a while, who was top in his academic program, getting a degree here in Baltimore that his family had to take posthumously for him, who was an artist, who took care of his grandmother every day, was the kind of godfather to his nieces and nephews and took care of them, who was in his sister's car and was stopped by the police. We don't know why he was stopped. We don't know why they drug him out of the car. But then he was beaten by at least 8 police officers, and we don't know why. And he died there. We don't know why he died or what happened. Nothing is out. What we know is that there's another young man who, in the hands of the Baltimore City Police, has been killed. This came on the heels of Anthony Anderson some 6 months earlier, who was arrested before a alleged drug deal and was slammed to the ground, had four ribs broken when he was slammed to the ground. His ribs punctured his spleen, and he died on the spot. But there are unanswered questions here. And so we've had
unanswered questions and untold stories, because notice that I covered this kind of thing all the time, and these are stories that I didn't know about. So I'm, in like the piece that that we were supposed to be talking about for The Root, where I interviewed Ben Crump, the family attorney for Trayvon Martin's family, who's now taken on two eerily disturbingly cases, eerily similar disturbing cases, one where a young black boy was stopped. This is Leon Ford Jr., so stopped for a random traffic stop that then ended in him being paralyzed by, rapid gunshots from the police officers, who are now charging him with some deadly use of force by trying to drive off as they were shooting at him. It's like the fact that there are so many of these stories out there, Mark, is just so deeply problematic. And so many young black boys are dying, and particularly at the hands of police officers, with impunity. And like you said, in the case there in Baltimore, it's been 3 months and there's no coroner's report. In the case of Kendrick Johnson, the young black boy who actually died, 17 years old, found wrapped up in a mat in the gym of his school, the coroners said that it was an accidental death, only to find that on a second autopsy report, the boy's internal organs had been removed. His face had been beaten to the point that he was unrecognizable. He looks like Emmett Till.
He does.
It's this really, really twist these twisted stories where you literally have the authorities that are sworn to protect and serve who are so corrupted and are basically selling stories about accidental death when it's clearly foul play and it's clearly murder. But this is only happening to young black boys, and it's happening, like you said, in Baltimore. It's happening for Leon Ford in Pittsburgh. It's happening in the backwoods of Georgia. It's happening everywhere. And we all know what happened on the sidewalk in Florida. So this is just, there are too many Emmett Tills, there are too many new Trayvon Martins, and it's just deeply disturbing for me.
And I just came back from Georgia, and while I was there, I was watching the local news, and the case of Kendrick Johnson was on the news when I was there just the other day, and all of a sudden the police have found that there is blood on the wall in the gym mm-hmm. where they found him. All of a sudden, they didn't see it before somehow, and how a slight little guy, like he's not little, but he was slight in terms of build, could stuff himself into a gym roll, into a gym mat and suffocate. I mean, it made no sense from the beginning.
It made no sense. Thank you, Mark. It made no sense from the beginning. Now, I can tell you this. In my interview with Ben Crump, he gave me some information that I cannot share because obviously it's not been admitted into court and they're building a case right now, right? But there is evidence that the young boy, and let's frame this for the people out there who don't know much about this case. This is, you know, deep south Georgia, a largely, I think Ben said, like a 65% or 70% white school. And the young man in question, Kendrick Johnson, who died and who was clearly murdered, had gotten into a fight with a young white boy over a girl maybe some weeks before. And there's evidence to show that a gang of white boys probably attacked him and precipitated this murder, right? But the most disturbing part of this is that the police department and the coroners are the ones who signed off on the accidental death, only to then be caught out there, basically, and called out when a second autopsy was requested by the parents, that then all this new evidence came out. I don't understand that part of it, because it's one thing to, you know, violent things happen in society. Sad stories occur, right? But then when you have institutions that are committed to the covering up of the facts in a case like this, and when that has happened so consistently over decades and centuries when it comes to young black boys, and we now live in the age of the first black president, it just goes to show how we're still, and I know I say this a lot, but we are still living with the three-fifths compromise, that the lives and bodies of young black males are not treated with the respect that they deserve. And I don't know where we begin, you know, like Eric Holder said back in 2009, to have an open and honest dialogue on race, because race is at the center of all of these stories.
And they are, as much as most America does want to address that. And I think that there's a huge conversation that has to take place. And we're going to open the phones here, Edward. And one of the things we're doing here in Baltimore, we are really pursuing the story on this program of Tyrone West. We want to.
Well, you know what? I'm going to write about it. Thank you so much for bringing it to my attention. I'll do the research.
We want people to know who this young man was and what his last...
Has the Root been covering it at all? Has anyone at the Root...
No, nobody's been covering any of these. If there have been seven instances like this in Baltimore, no one's covering them nationally. And I think that when I had his family on the air, I was just so moved by his sister and his uncle and then the mother of Anthony Anderson, who met for the first time on this program. That it just cried out for some sense of justice that we need to know. Besides the fact that I think that people have held accountable for the deaths in this case, the other side of it is that these were human beings, and we need to know who they were, what their lives were like.
Because they were living worthy lives. And I think this is the problem, is that our society has so criminalized young black males and so stigmatized their skin color and their bodies that we forget that these are human beings who deserve the respect of just basic humanity. And so I'm so glad that's what you're talking about, and I'm so glad that's what you're fighting for, just basic human dignity and respect.
Let's go to the phones at 410-319-8888 as we talk with Edward Wyckoff Williams about his latest piece in The Root, Black Boys Are Not Safe on Our Streets. And Ernest, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning to you and your guests.
Hi, Ernest.
Don't leave out Marion Carey, who was executed in the Washington streets after police put themselves in danger by getting around that car. And when the car was stopped, they opened the door and they shot her multiple times, and one or more times in the head, where her body was unrecognizable, and nobody has talked about it.
When did that take place?
October the 3rd.
This year?
This year.
Right.
In Washington, D.C.
Wow.
It's been all on the news. The Black Caucus hasn't talked about it.
No. Oh, he's talking about the young woman who took her car from the White House to the Capitol, who was off her meds, and the police ended up shooting and killing her.
Right.
Because they thought it might be a bomb in the car.
Well, that's what they said. They thought it was a bomb. But if with my police background, I know that they didn't think it was a bomb in the car, because if they thought it was a bomb in the car, they wouldn't have come close to the car. And they said that they thought she had a gun, but they never received any fire from that car. They executed that person in Washington, D.C., and nobody has said anything about it, including our president. No black person has talked about it. No congressperson, nobody has talked about that, and it was watched. And even when an FBI agent, I can't think of his name
right now,
said that it was a bad shooting. A lot of people, people from John Jay College, professors at John Jay College said it was a bad shooting. But it's been very quiet, and nobody said anything. And then this is another thing. The last case that happened in Baltimore City, and by the way, we have a black police commissioner by the name of Anthony Batts.
Right.
The police pulls this guy over and said that he was acting suspicious. Mm-hmm. He was very suspicious and nervous. And then when he attempted to drive off, the police put himself in danger again, and they shot him and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's very similar to what happened to Leon Ford, except Leon Ford has not died. He's just paralyzed from the waist down for the rest of his life.
And Ernest, I appreciate the call always. Ernest is a former police officer in the city who's called in, and it's always look forward to his comments on the air with us. I think let me get another caller, and then we'll come right back. Is that okay, Edward? 410-319-8888. Let's go to Maya in Baltimore. And if some of you have called in before, you're going to hold on. I'm going to get some new callers in who we haven't heard from in a bit. So, Maya, you're on the air.
Hi,
Maya.
How are you? My comment is just that, you know, as we are learning about these stories, it's good information for the adults, but at some point we have to take this to the classroom in the public schools and teach these young men how to handle themselves with the police when interacted. Because as a teenager, as a young adult, it may be too late. I know that my husband's going to teach my sons how to do it because he's a black man growing up in Baltimore and he's experienced it himself. But for the children that don't have it, it's as important as nutrition. If we can teach the food groups and that's part of your health and your survival and safety, we can teach how to interact when stopped by the police in the schools. We're not above that. It's survival. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maya. What do you think of that, Edward?
You know, I really appreciate I appreciate almost the perspective of a mother and a sister, and I think that on some level what she's saying is fair, except that we've gotten to a situation. Our society doesn't respect a black male, and so whether or not he stands at attention, raises his arms, he's still in danger of being shot and killed for no reason. Whether he's holding Skittles, or like Amadou Diallo, whether he's pulling his wallet because the police have asked for it, he's still in danger of being shot to death and massacred. Whether it's Sean Bell on the night before his wedding, just getting into a car, being approached by undercover officers who did not identify themselves. And so what you end up with are people who are very reasonable, like Maya. She's very reasonable to say, well, if you just teach young black boys how to deal with officers, then this won't happen. That is simply untrue. Because when you teach young black boys to just go into the street, minding their business, buying Skittles, or come home from a night out with friends, they're still being shot and killed. Like, there is nothing to be taught to young black males. There's something to be changed about the way we police young black males. That's the problem here.
That is the problem. Although I think what Maya was also saying is if anybody who has that son or a grandson who is a young black man, you have to sit and talk with them about what they have to do to protect themselves, though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't not do that.
Yeah, you can't not do that. But then it's almost we've gotten to a point now where gun violence against them is you know, proliferating. So on some level, if you're teaching them, to be respectful, to stop, you know, don't open a door, I guess, don't make any sudden movements, that might all be well and good. But it seems like to me, unless they're packing, sort of like what Barack Obama said about Trayvon Martin, if Trayvon had been armed, would he have been able to stand his ground? And that question, I think, goes to the heart of what do you teach young black men? Because outside of being respectful, outside of minding their business, outside of making any studied moves, what are they to do against such unfettered violence by either police or other citizens, like a George Zimmerman? I don't know if you can teach anyone about that. Remember, I interviewed Tracy Martin and asked him, what would you have told your son to do differently? And he said, nothing. I taught my son well, and my son was doing nothing wrong. Like at some point, we have got to stop saying that somehow it is our own fault for being black and male in America.
Let us go back to the phones here. And before we do leave this, I do want to talk to you about what we think or how we address this, both as a society and a community. 410-319-8888. Tyrone, you're on the air. Welcome.
I really wanted to call in yesterday, you know, with the conversation you had yesterday about the crime of violence and everything. But, I mean, I just want to make you aware and your listeners aware about us as a people, you mean. And for one thing is for sure, and two things is for certain. And that is, prior to us as black people coming over here to America, we had never known so much crime and violence in our existence. Crime and violence was not a way of life for us as black people. We were a spiritual people. That means spirituality was a way of life, and number one, first and foremost for us. Not crime and violence. All the crime and violence we experience it now, we got this from America's way of life, their customs, their culture, and their way of life. And the other point is to be made is the fact that we are living two different realities. You mean? And the reason why so much hatred between blacks and whites who've been fighting with each other for hundreds, if not thousands of years, you know what I mean, is because of the two different realities and the story that white people live by. And that is the one about the star constellation of Orion and Pleiades, the Arion's kingdom, the Sitar queens, the whole expansion of the empire thing, you know, and the transfer of power to the Canis Empire, and which led up to the creation of the Adapas, you know what I mean? And that power, that's a small segment of that population of Adapas that started experimenting on themselves to the point of removing all the metal. You know the story, Mark.
Tyrone, appreciate the call. Edward.
Tyrone went a little too far, but God bless him, though. I think I want to talk specifically about this, the case about the Trayon Christian, because I think it speaks in a way to what Maya's point was, and I think Maya's point is powerful, and I think your response back to what I was saying, or, you pushing back a bit against what I was saying is important, because this is a young boy in New York who went to go buy a belt that Jewel Santana, who's a really famous rapper, has. It's a Salvador, I don't even know how to say it. It's Ferragamo.
Right. That sounds right. Ferragamo, that sounds right. Yeah.
It sounds right. And the belt is $300. And he saved up. He's a college student, you know, lives in Queens, went to Barney's to get it, and bought it, you know, with his debit card. They ask for ID nowadays when you use your debit card. He showed the ID. He walked out of the store with his receipt and his belt in hand, and then was attacked in the street by undercover officers, arrested, and their reason for arresting him was that they said the person at the cash register, the cashier, called the police and said that that was a fraudulent purchase, that there was no way this young black boy could afford this $300 belt. And then they held him for 2 hours while they called Chase Bank to confirm his identity. Mm. After having wrestled the boy and denied him, for all intents and purposes, his 14th Amendment rights. Like, this is, and granted, that child was not, the 19-year-old kid, but he was not killed. He was not shot to death, you know?
Just humiliated.
Thank God for that. But humiliated, disrespected, and for what? What? For what, except for being young and black and buying a $300 belt? As if we cannot just go about living our lives. I think that is the problem, and I'm not quite sure what you teach young black boys that can be any different than all the other positive things that any parent would instill.
So,
because basically what we're dealing with is a situation where everything that they do is perceived as criminal.
Now, just looking at this young man's face on the Daily Mail of London, the young mm-hmm. Treyon Christian, just this young kid, and how he must have been just completely terrified.
Yeah, and coping. Yeah,
by being arrested for buying for what?
Exactly.
Let me go back a couple quick calls before we run out of time here. 410-319-8888. Jerry in Hamden, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Mark.
Hi, Jerry.
Two things. New Lens here in Baltimore. You know those kids.
Yes.
New Lens. Well, they've made a bunch of videos about this situation, and they made a whole group of them that have now been presented to the police department here in Baltimore, and they are doing classes. Some of these young guys are going into police stations and talking with police and showing them the videos that they made. That's one thing. And the other thing is, through Mail Station.
Yes.
Oscar Grant. You know, mm-hmm. people should definitely get to see that. We ought to have that movie back here in Baltimore. It came in and it went out too quickly, and that's another good education to be able to see that movie.
And
that's it.
Thank you. And one thing that I'm just going to say is I think that our Tyrone West is Baltimore's Oscar Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And a young, innocent man no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have about 4 minutes left. I'm going to try to get another call or two in here if we can, Edward. But Alan, Russell, and Horace, we are going to try to get your calls if we can in the limited time we have. But what would be – I want to hear from you, Edward, what you think as an observer. What steps do we take as a society? How do we address it?
Well, you know, I think what's really positive is that there's so much – like there are people like you who are doing the work of informing and educating. There's so much happening on social media now where – young people are able to tell their stories. Young people are hearing about other stories and able to organize around it. But there's also a pushback against the unfettered violence of police. And I think that what we saw in New York with the deconstructing of stop and frisk is important. What you see in Philly now with attention being paid to this this latest case of a police officer stopping and frisking a young black male and then being videotaped making really racist comments, that might create change in the way it's being done there. And that will, as we know, when things happen in major cities like a New York or a Philly or a Baltimore, it then changes the culture of police across the country. And I'm thinking that perhaps in that small way, with this one step around stop and frisk, we can begin to change the culture of how we approach the bodies, literally, of young black males. And the way that we think about how they move in the world, that they can literally just be buying a $300 belt and not up to no good. They can literally just be walking to the store to buy Skittles and be a normal kid. And so I think that a part of what's changing in the age of Obama is actually having a more nuanced conversation around what it means to be both black, young and male in America. And I think for a lot of young black males, you know, having Trayvons that they can identify with and someone actually cared enough about it to create an entire movement around it is also important. Even as tragic as these stories are, the fact that we are talking about it at the level that we are, I think is also a change in the way that these things are being dealt with.
It's always great to have you with us, Edward Wyckoff-Williams. I want to thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. I feel, I told Ben
because my editor at The Root asked me to do this piece. I was not going to do this. And, you know, you have inspired me today to talk about the young man there in Baltimore, because I was demoralized, Mark, after the Trayvon Martin case, and I decided I really just wanted to focus on politics and follow the Obama White House. I did not want to do these stories. That is not the way, I'm discovering. And I've talked to a number of people about this, both at Al Jazeera and at Washington Post and The Root. And I think that even though this work is difficult, it must be done.
I completely agree. And it's going to be a mainstay here on this show as well, and as well as our other work that we do here. So, Edward Reich, hopefully we'll be able to take your articles, put them on our site so people can see them, astonishshow.org.
Thank you, buddy.
Always good to talk to you.
Always good. God bless. Thank you.
You
for
too.
So
take
so
care.
Much.
And I apologize to the callers who couldn't get through. We just had a half an hour on this segment today, but we will come back to the subject, and Alan, Russell, and Horace will get to you and all the other callers in our next episodes here. And it's good to have you all with us. I'll remind you on the way to this break that we're going to go out with Diana Reeves coming up with Summertime. This is the day that she was born, so we're going to play a little bit of her music. That support for WEAA is provided by the Walters Art Museum, presenting the exhibition Egypt's Mysterious Book of the Fayum. An ancient papyrus is displayed alongside Egyptian statues, reliefs, jewelry, and ritual objects, tell intriguing stories like that of Sobek, the crocodile god who makes the sun rise. So we're taking a break now. When we come back, we'll meet some young people in our community who are in love with their work in theater. Stay with us. We'll be right back.